And good morning. It's a Monday. Not just any Monday. It's the first Monday in January. It's the first Monday when everybody's back to, I guess, what, real life again, Mikey J? Is that probably the way? I'm not sure if exactly, because I said before, you used to be able to, well, we used to say you could shoot a cannon down a hallway and not hit anything, usually in the week between Christmas and New Year's. Pretty quiet out here, wasn't it?
I guess. Business as usual for me.
Yeah, you were, you did take some time off, didn't you? No.
No. No. Someone has to be here to run the show there, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure glad there was you. Anyway, it's an open phone day today. We're talking about anything and everything. January 6th, that's the day. Will the Electoral College be confirmed? Or will they? Mike Pence overturn it or delay the inauguration? I'd say that it's a long shot.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that people are talking about it blows my mind, because it's basically like, hey, will we have a civil war on Wednesday? Like, it's so unlikely that it's going to happen. The fact that they're even putting it out there like it's a consideration is ridiculous.
Well, and the phone call, Colin, was kind of weird. I mean, you said it before to me. I need call the Secretary of State, and you said I need 11,472 votes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like
oddly specific.
Oddly specific, you know. It's like, okay, just can you find me those? It's like, okay, it's calling up a grocery order, you know.
Well, I feel like it's just showing desperation, you know. It shows that Trump is willing to call anyone and say anything to try to get somebody to take a side and you know, flip some switches behind the scenes and change the outcome. You know, it's not going to happen. No matter who he calls or what he says, nothing's going to change.
Were there problems with some of the elections? Yes. Were there problems with some of the machines? Yes. Were there problems with some of the voting, the way the votes were counted? Possibly. The problem you had is you had this pandemic going on, and so when you had to have somebody, so you needed to have a Republican and a Democrat observe, and so everybody wants to be in everybody's face. Well, you know, that's not a real good thing
that's not how it works. And the last thing I want is some super political person getting anywhere near a giant stack of ballots where somebody's trying to do their job.
Looking at a signature. Is this a valid signature?
Yeah.
Or is this maybe it's a fake signature?
Yeah. And who made whatever idiot it is a handwriting expert to be able to determine that? It's almost all so ridiculous. And this year,
not any more ridiculous than the hanging chads were in Florida.
Oh yeah, it was just.
What was the intent?
That was even more blatant of stealing
stupid.
An election.
That was really stupid.
They essentially made up that whole controversy to get 1,000 votes into Bush's pocket.
And the Secretary of State was a Republican. She simply stopped the vote.
But the difference between all of this is that this seems to be, you know, they're trying to conflate that because there was a little bit of voter fraud, which they have it in every election, that just because some of it was found, that means that all of it is illegitimate. And that's not true at all, because there wasn't the amount of fraud and stuff that they found this year is exactly on par with every previous election that we've had. There are going to be idiots out there that try to vote twice or try to register their dead grandma and go vote for her. But that it happens every time.
Yeah,
it's not an indicator of a giant conspiracy.
It's not 100,000 people that dead people that voted and things like that. And the thing is, what amazes me is that some regularly smart people like Jennifer Horne on the DJV show, is she still clinging to the same fallacies and the same conspiracies that are there? I'm
they
not
say
sure what.
It's harder to convince somebody that they've been lied to than it is to lie to them. It's so easy to convince, because we were very arrogant,
yeah.
animals. We think we're always right all the time. So it's really hard for our egos to admit we've made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's much easier to blindly defend the position that we staunchly put out there before. Because nobody wants to have to go out there and be like, hey, guys, sorry. All the opinions I've been giving over the last few months were wrong and based on bad information. Nobody wants to do that, so they're going to staunchly defend a terrible point until somebody, you know, either blows them out of the water or stops listening to them.
Well, and see, the evidence in these conspiracies has also been, and I know that we've had, I think I told you about the letter. I had a letter, somebody who absolutely fervently believed that the election was stolen and said thousands, if not millions of votes stolen. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, that's what you believe. You didn't sign it when you gave it to me, but thank you very much. You said it on very nice Christmas paper.
and things like that go to show the problem that we have right now with the whole fake news. Ever since fake news was introduced,
the word fake news,
it's what it's done is and social media has done it too.
Yeah.
It's diluted what it means to be an expert in a field.
Well, the other thing
contain a certain level of expertise.
Well, one thing, here's one for Colin, because you know the one thing about journalism is that you know, if you're writing a story, you've got to write it in an unbiased way. You can't slant that story. You know, if you're going to write a story that's going to have some credibility, it's got to be written where it does not use terms like falsely claimed and proven wrong and all of these other things.
That marks the difference between a piece and an editorial.
Yeah, yes, and that's really what we see. What we've done is we've seen advocacy journalism has become advocacy journalism.
Advocacy journalism has been around for decades.
Oh, no, it's always been around.
It's just, especially in this era we have now with the advent of the internet.
Social
and
media.
And the ability to pick and choose where you get your information
and
from.
What you're reading and what's your source and
I believe it's Chad Benson has a promo that he says where you suddenly get this bubble you've been living in burst and it's just like,
all right, now here's a big question of the year. Here it is, January 4th, the vaccines rolling out. They're rolling out slower than they anticipated.
But they are rolling out.
But they are coming out. And it is, you know, I think as I had John Billups on earlier, and we talked about the fact, look, the good news is they're out. The good news is we're going to get to the end. We aren't at the end, but we are at the beginning of the end.
Home stretch.
We're in the home stretch. It's going to take a while, and people are going to be. Yeah, I think that's why I think events that are going on. Probably what John said. His latest evidence was, and he'd been in contact with the governor's office and their projections and things like that. They predict that we'll reach herd immunity and be pretty much free and clear of this thing by late summer. That's it. That's their guess right now.
I think that's the figure we all kind of had in our heads, but. And in terms of the vaccines, yeah, I think it's a very, very slow, gradual process. But there are people who need it more than others. I think we can all agree on that.
Well, and then we have states like Texas. Texas and several other states have completely ignored the CDC guidelines of who should get the vaccine. And they'd said, hey, if you're elderly, come get it. We're not going to give it to nurses first. We're going to give it to anyone who comes and lines up. And it led to elderly people waiting overnight at pharmacies to get the vaccine ahead of time before they're supposed to be able to get it. Like it's certainly not a perfect system with the way that this vaccine's rolling out. There's a case of some guy deliberately destroying thousands of the vaccine for political reasons.
He had him out and he left. He just let him out and let him warm up. This stuff's got to be kept at 84 below zero. He just left it out on the counter for a day.
And they say he did it on purpose. He did on purpose.
Why?
To contaminate them and destroy them so people couldn't take the vaccine.
Because
he watches an idiot news network that tells him that vaccine is going to harm everyone. You know, there's this prevailing theory out there that there is something about this vaccine that, they're going to slip something in there. It hasn't been properly researched. It's going to make me grow horns out of my head. And it's all based on nothing, on zero facts and just... people are viewing this vaccine as a Democrat thing. And so there's a huge wave of Republicans
who are
using it as a political thing that I politically ain't going to get vaccinated. You know, it's so stupid and it's so counterintuitive to what most people would think is, hey, here's the cure. Here's the way to stop having to wear the mask and go out and do everything. Why anyone would push back against it blows my mind.
Well, that boggles my mind that we can take something that saves people's lives. If you don't want to get a vaccine for any given disease, that's your given right as an American. You can do whatever you want with your life. But politicizing saving lives is a bit off color from my taste.
My best guess is, you know, we had a Thanksgiving where they said don't get together. We had a Christmas, don't get together. We had New Year's and didn't, get together
as little as possible.
And get together as little as possible. By this year, Thanksgiving, I think, will be, I think we're, you know, we'll,
bigger than ever.
When I see full football stadiums, full baseball stadiums, or whatever, full regular schedules for the National Hockey League, regular NBA schedule, you know, and people in the stands. To me, that's when it's over.
I think that's also going to be a gradual process. As the vaccine rolls out, they're going to gradually increase their allowed capacity, which you'd expect that to happen. But I think I'm on the same boat as you. Once we're allowed back in public places, without the minimal levels of protection.
Well, I'm making my prediction right now on the 4th of January that by this date, 1 year from now, we'll be looking back at it and saying, whew, thank God. We are done. We are clean. We have washed our hands of it. The masks are saved in case we ever have something like this again. Other than that, they're in a scrapbook.
I don't know if you heard that. That's me knocking on wood.
Yes. I mean, that's what I'm – that's my – and I think, yeah, they said once we get to – yeah, but people – it's going to take – people are going to still be cautious until they really feel like it's okay, and I think they'll feel okay by the holidays of next year.
Well, you have to think that is an appropriate response that you have to sort of – ease back into normal life.
Well, yeah, and I don't, because it's not.
And I get it, like, you want normal life to just instantly come back like that,
but that's not how it works. I feel like that's what the vaccine is for. Anyone who gets vaccinated, you can go back to your normal life.
Exactly, but until everybody gets that vaccine,
the minute you
get
that second shot, you are now pretty much immune to the virus.
What I'm saying is
this vaccine, once you're vaccinated, you don't even have to wear a mask anymore because you're not going to get it.
Exactly.
You're not going to give it to anybody else. So
there's still some controversy over that. And I think
Well, it's because they can't.
Is it the media?
No, it's because the government can't go forward and be like, okay, everyone take your masks off. Because that would be viewed as being irresponsible. So what they're going to say is, all right, you know, after you get vaccinated, we're all going to be safe and still be social distance. We're just kind of going to check it out. But no, I mean, the science has shown once you've gone through that regimen, you are pretty much free of COVID. You're not going to catch COVID at least through the end of the year.
Well, the controversy was you're not going to catch it, but can you pass it on to somebody?
What do you mean? If you can't get it.
What I'm saying is, can you, if you still have the, if you have the virus, but you're, well, if you're...
You can't get the virus, Steve. It can't propagate itself in your body enough to spread to somebody else, because your body has a natural defense against
it. But until that vaccine starts to roll out en masse, we're still in the thick of things.
I know, we're still in the thick. Anyway, it's a Monday, it is... It's a Monday, and it feels, I think we're back to work. I think the problem we ran into earlier this year is we had this sort of anticipation, and I know, I think you did when you were predicting your wedding. I got a wedding in December, that's going to be no problem. We're getting better, things are down, the summer is here, people are, you know, we're relaxing things. I remember going to Hux Harbor on the 5th of July. I thought, you know what? Hey, this is as close to normal as I felt, since, I felt actually like I was on vacation. Haven't felt like that since, but you know, I think we are seeing positivity rates in here in Iowa have gone down. California, they've been skyrocketing. I'm not sure why, whether it's just California, whether it's just the fact that you would think that, and Governor Newsom doesn't seem to have a handle on anything.
No, he does not.
He does. He seems to be a contradictory in all of his. One, he goes to a fancy restaurant with 28 people. Okay, not a good thing for the governor to do.
But I mean, I think what's going on in California isn't because of the governor. There's nothing that he has specifically done.
No, it's not 100%.
He just is putting out. He's just doing what a lot of the rich politicians have done, and that is, you know, said one thing and done another.
So
what
broken. Is the issue? What is the issue?
The issue is California is covered in homelessness. You have COVID running rampant through groups of people who don't have medical care, who live under overpasses, who are defecating on the ground all over the city.
Okay.
Like, if you think that isn't leading to a massive spread of this virus, then I don't know. What, you know, I haven't heard a lot of people coming forward to say that because it's not politically correct to point out the hundreds and hundreds of homeless people under every overpass in Southern California, you know, but I would imagine that has a slight, you know, will it's slightly uptick the
not
number.
Not just Southern California, yeah. It's all over the state, yeah. Especially and, like in the Bay Area.
Yeah, my, oh gosh.
Where the cost of living is so astronomical.
The Bay Area is outrageous.
Well, they've carved out all these incentives for homeless people to stay in California. There's all sorts of stuff that they can get, and it's also year round. It's warm enough that you can sleep outside. You don't have to. So it's become like this mecca to head to San Francisco or L.A. and San Diego and these other places in California and just set up your homeless tent. Because number one, if you're a heroin addict, you won't get arrested for it. And you can do your drugs right there on the streets in front of everyone in California. They've carved out, you know, protections for people like that. It's bad choices of the last 15, 20 years in California have led to this homeless problem. Yeah. And then throwing COVID on top of it, they have some of the strictest regulations of any state in the country. And their numbers are still going up. They reported 355 deaths on the first day of the year. And you can't say it's because they're not trying.
Yeah.
It's because they have a problem that was already there before this whole thing happened, and they don't want to address that problem. They what are they going to do? Like, remove all the homeless people off the street to keep them from passing it to each other? It's a very, I don't know. It's a bunch of problems stacked on top of each other. In California, I don't see them getting out of this anytime soon.
I would agree. I think the fact is California is, well, and really there really should be, you know, people have said Northern California, Southern California. It really should be two states. I mean, I'm telling you, they're Northern California's and Southern California, they should break it up and this incredibly huge place ought to be broken up and managed differently. Northern California should be managed differently than Southern California.
Well, doesn't all the water come from Northern California? Isn't it all pumped by a pipeline from Northern?
Actually, it's from Colorado. Colorado water is what goes to Los Angeles. Yeah, that's where the when they said the Hoover Dam the whatever dam it was, they've changed the name a few times. I think it's still called, I think it's back to being the Hoover Dam now, isn't it?
I didn't realize that it changed.
Yeah, it was the Grand. They changed it because
they're selling the naming rights.
That's what I was
going to
say. They sold
now?
The naming rights. The Chuck E. Cheese.
No,
Hoover Dam.
Yeah. No, seriously,
the Nike Dam.
It was built as a Hoover Dam. They changed the name to Boulder Dam. Because they didn't want because Hoover had this connotation of being linked to the Depression, and they didn't want to have that. Then after everything sorted out another decade or so, then they said, okay, we went back to calling it the Hoover Dam. And I mean it's the same dam, it's the same damn dam. Yeah, it pumps it all of the water goes. The water goes to Southern California.
And
that's
creates
where all their,
hydroelectricity.
Yep, and creates hydroelectricity. We're going to take a break. We've got phone lines open, 754-1490. We will be back.
This is The Herd with Colin Cowherd.
COVID has been difficult for everybody.
But does everybody realize Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State, with or without COVID, would be here? So I'm not saying it's been easy, but, you know, people are complaining about Ohio State and not playing enough games. Folks, COVID or not, this is exactly what college football would look like.
Colin Cowherd.
Weekdays 11 to 2 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
You keep your children safe and healthy by encouraging hand washing, mask wearing, and social distancing. Your children have continued to grow and hit developmental milestones during the nearly year-old COVID-19 pandemic, which means it may be time for a well-child visit or scheduled vaccines. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that children continue receiving routine vaccines to prevent illnesses such as measles, mumps, polio, and whooping cough. Providers at FMCH and Great River Medical Center are ready to safely care for all your children's healthcare needs. Your health counts. Regular physical activity may lower your risk of heart disease, stroke, diabetes, depression, and some forms of cancer. But if your joints hurt, staying active can be difficult. The orthopedic professionals at FMCH Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Specialist Great River Medical Center are here to help you. They use their expertise to diagnose and treat the problem, creating a plan of care just for you. Their focus is getting you back to doing what you enjoy, pain-free. So give yourself the gift of good health this year and call today. Your health counts.
At Quicken Loans, our 17,000 team members know that home is so much more than a house. That's because our clients tell us all the time. Hey, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, and we want to help you save money on your mortgage with some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates are historically low. You may be able to reduce your rate and save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. Pay off some credit card debt, or put some money towards that new bathroom or kitchen you've always wanted. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%. APR, 4.23%. That's right, 3.99%. While we can't predict what will happen in the future, we do know that rates have dropped, and now is the time to save money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn how refinancing now may be the right mortgage solution for you. That's 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Authorities have announced the death of an individual in a Minneapolis structure fire. According to a news release, on Sunday at approximately 5:04 p.m., the Minneapolis Fire Department and the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office were dispatched to a structure fire located at 10613 Center Street in Minneapolis. Deputies arrived on scene at approximately 5:07 p.m., and the structure was fully engulfed in flames. An unidentified deceased subject was located inside of the structure. The state's fire marshal's office responded to assist with the investigation, and an autopsy has been scheduled for the deceased. The cause of the fire is undetermined but is not considered suspicious at this time. Authorities are investigating the death of an 84-year-old man in a small eastern Iowa town. The Iowa Department of Public Safety said James Howard Bright was found dead Saturday morning inside his home in Vinton after the sheriff's department was called to check on him. Authorities did not release any details about the circumstances of Bright's death, but they said it is being investigated by the Benton County Sheriff's Department, Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation, and the Iowa State Patrol. No arrests have been announced. A Des Moines attorney is suing several police officers and the city over their response to racial justice protests in May. The class action lawsuit seeks to represent anyone arrested or assaulted by Des Moines officers during a protest on May 31st. Attorney Gina Messimer alleges in the lawsuit that officers illegally arrested and pepper sprayed people protesting the death of George Floyd while he was in custody of Minneapolis police. The lawsuit alleges the officers' actions violated protesters' free speech rights and were meant to deter future demonstrations. Des Moines officials did not respond to requests for comment on the lawsuit. Illinois public health officials are reporting 81 more deaths from COVID-19 and 4,469 new confirmed and probable cases. The Illinois Department of Public Health said Sunday that the state has had nearly 980,000 cases since the beginning of the pandemic. Health officials say 16,755 people in the state have died from COVID-19. Currently, there are 3,817 people being hospitalized for COVID-19 in Illinois, and 798 are in intensive care units. From the KBOR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump campaigns tonight for two Georgia senators in runoff elections tomorrow. He tells Georgia's Secretary of State that he should recalculate vote totals showing Joe Biden the winner there.
You're a Republican.
We believe that we do have an accurate election.
No, I know you don't.
The top House Republican, Kevin McCarthy, tells Fox,
the president believes that there are things that happen in Georgia, and he wants to see the accountability for it.
Audio of that phone call was leaked to the Washington Post. The actress Tanya Roberts died. She was in the James Bond movie A View to a Kill, and on TV in Charlie's Angels and That 70s Show.
Her death was reported by TMZ, which said there'd been no sign of ill health and that she collapsed on Christmas Eve after returning home from a walk with her dogs. She was put on a ventilator, TMZ said, but did not have COVID. The cause of death was not disclosed. Tanya Roberts was 65 years old.
Fox's Sal Giangrasso. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
We got a dense fog advisory in effect till noon today. Widespread dense fog mainly before noon. Otherwise, a cloudy sky and a high this afternoon, 35 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, low down to 20. It'll be mostly sunny on Tuesday. A high tomorrow, 33. Mostly cloudy Tuesday night, down to 23. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 35. And mostly cloudy Thursday, 34 right now. We continue with dense fog, quarter mile or less, and it's 28 degrees.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Stocks are higher on Wall Street on this first business and trading day of the new year. The S&P 500 index and the NASDAQ each opened at record highs this morning. If you were invested last year, the major indexes were all higher. The Dow was up 7%, the S&P 500 up 16%, the NASDAQ was up a whopping 43%. Bitcoin, which has hit record highs recently, fell 10% at one point this morning. A third coronavirus vaccine in the UK. The first shots were given today of a vaccine developed by AstraZeneca and Oxford. It has not been approved in the U.S. yet. December was the deadliest month of the pandemic in the United States. Investors are set to watch a few big items this week. Tomorrow's runoff election in Georgia will determine power in the U.S. Senate. And Friday, we get the December jobs report from the government. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider and are only available if the provider determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free, zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Oh my goodness, we survived 2020. Yay, 2021. At Standard of Beaverdale, we can't wait to see what the new year can bring. With the new year, a lot of people like to make New Year's resolutions. One popular resolution is to get in shape. We have lots of old school ideas on how to do that. Come and check out our hand saws or hammers to get a good workout for your arms. Get your back and legs into it by hanging and finishing some new drywall. Another whole body workout can be doing some yard work or shoveling snow. Come see us for a new rake, chainsaw, or shovel. We also encourage simply going for a walk in our beautiful city and state parks. Go out and see what Lake Geode State Park looks like in the winter, or meander through Crapo Park amongst the evergreens. Listen to the wind and watch for the wildlife. But don't forget to layer up with warm and comfortable Carhartt clothes and Red Wing boots before you do so. Come see our wardrobe consultants to fix you up with the best flannels, coats, overalls, and boots. Happy New Year from all of your friends at Standard of Beaverdale in West Burlington, Iowa.
Start your day with KBUR.
The morning news.
The weather.
Information you need to start your day.
Instant, up to date.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
Welcome back on the talk show today. First live talk show we've had on the air for almost 2 weeks. it's been a weird, you know, and my wife and I were just talking Was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? But the fact, it was the 2nd of January. We're in a new year. And I said, typically, when we have that first weekend of the new year, I get the calendar out. I put the calendar up on the 1st of January. I went and made sure the calendar was up. And I said, and I brought the old calendar down. And I started looking. I said, usually when I've looked at a calendar, when I've taken it down, it has all of the events and everything that's been scheduled. All the soccer matches of my grandson, all of the concerts for Jennifer, things that I've got to do, remotes, or whether it's be bike races or whatever, all of this thing, Ragbri, you know, summer vacation. There was nothing. We had actually, she had pulled stuff in March, early March, that was coming up in April and May. After that, nothing. Before that, nothing. it was like strange. And I said, you know, here we are. It's the 2nd of January. And I said, I've got a calendar, and I can't put a single thing locked in for that calendar. I can't put any date. I mean, they may happen or maybe not. I don't know. And it's that, I think, is unnerving. I don't know if it's unnerving to you, but it's unnerving to me to not be able to plan and to not be able to look forward to something. I have no idea. It was like going through. Well, you ended up getting married. You did get married.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was different than you planned.
Yeah.
And it was okay, right? I mean, but are you looking at doing a big something in the future?
Yeah, we've got a reception coming up that we're planning, and now that they've lifted the guidelines for gatherings and stuff, but we had to adjust, like a lot of people this year, you know.
It's been an adjustment for everybody. That's the thing. It's been an adjustment for everybody, and every state is its own basically country. And they've got their own rules. Okay, am I okay to be in this state or not? And do I need to quarantine? My daughter's working from home this week, by the way, because she came to visit for Christmas. And just to make sure that there was no doubt about it, because Illinois visitors to Iowa are expected to quarantine for 14 days when they return to Illinois. How about that? And so, I mean, it's like so it's dealing with the absurdities. It seems, you know, we've kind of stretched some of these absurdities to the limit. Anyway, but not being able to plan anything, frustrating. Not being able to know for sure something's going to be happening, very frustrating. The closer we get to having this thing so we can actually go and plan and do and be normal or close to it, hallelujah. All I can say is hallelujah, because that's really where we are. And it's been a frustrating time. I don't know. The undercurrent is going out of this thing that's happening on the 6th of January, that somehow the election is going to get taken away or changed. It's not going to happen.
No, no. And it's like you hear all these people saying, well, Well, you know, the Speaker of the House is president if the president and the vice president both died. So I see this as a big coup. They're just trying to do all, it's this theory that Mike Pence is somehow going to overthrow the decision already made by the Electoral College is just as crazy as somebody trying to convince you that they're going to assassinate the president and vice president to put Nancy Pelosi in the president's spot. Like, it's your crackpot uncle that spews stuff at Thanksgiving. That is the level of what this is. It's not going to happen, and anyone who believes it is, I think you need to take a big old spoonful of salt and think about what you're believing.
That's what we have, but that's what we have with social media. There's so much junk. I find it almost to see what I consider to be fairly intelligent people repeating things or posting things or reposting things that I know they would never post or never repost before.
Yeah, the thing I like to compare it when I try to explain this to people, if you have an ailment, you have a stomachache, it won't go away for 3 days. Who are you going to trust about that stomachache? Are you going to the doctor or your neighbor?
your neighbor who is a carpenter, okay?
Okay.
Are you the doctor says, "Hey, you should take this medicine." Your neighbor says, "Don't take that medicine." They're both people. The way that social media has been working lately, people will weigh those as the exact same thing. That, "Oh, well, I have two choices. I better choose the one that I like better." That's not how facts work. That's not how news works.
I
and
know.
Expertise, like these doctors have spent 8-10 years, going through all this training, spending the money and learning all this stuff so they can give you an accurate representation. And the fact that people are willing to just take the first opinion that they agree with without, considering how much research or time or effort or anything went into that opinion, like that is the worst thing about what is going on in our country right now.
The only thing I would suggest, and I agree. The only thing I would suggest, if you have a doctor that tells you something and you're not sure whether you're comfortable with that, then get a couple other opinions from other qualified
individuals. Yeah.
And weigh it out, because not one doctor may have a different idea than another doctor.
Yeah.
But do that.
Yeah.
You got to do it on an even playing field. You can't do it just, I read it on WebMD. I don't care what you read on WebMD or whatever, or what you read in some article, or I saw it on Facebook, or I saw it on Instagram, or I saw it on Twitter. I mean, it's like, the fact is, fake news is real, and it's all over the place. And take this quiz, see how you.
Yeah. Well, what the most ironic part about it is, the places that are called fake news the most aren't the fake news. It's the ones that people are swallowing hook, line, and sinker is all the fake news.
Yeah.
These Facebook memes where you read three sentences and there's a photo of a politician and then you just automatically believe whatever those things said because it was posted by your uncle or your coworker.
And then there's being Democratic and being Republican.
Oh, yeah, just believing a conspiracy because that's what that's what your side's believing right now. Russian collusion. Yeah.
And the reality is, here's the reality. At least in my opinion. My opinion is the people, and by and large, they aren't Republican specifically, and they aren't Democrats specifically. They're somewhere in the middle. They don't really care. They don't care if AOC has a big statement. They don't care if Donald Trump would be raving about something. They don't care about what Mike Pence is going to say, or Ted Cruz. He's going to be leading the fight against the electoral votes. Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, is going to be. He was the first one to come out and say, we need to really overturn this thing. And
who's the senator? I'm trying to think of his name. Rand Paul, is that his name?
Rand Paul, who said, well, no, Rand Paul was the one who came out when he talked about the $2,000. Well, why not just give away the whole, why not make it $5,000 or $10,000?
Yeah, why not?
Maybe even $100,000. Yeah. We'll all be rich.
His argument was that we shouldn't be giving all this money out because it's bad.
Because we're just borrowing from the future.
We should be spending it on bombs. Yeah, like if you want to listen to Rand Paul, that's what we should do. We should be spending all that money on bombs, and you should be taking care of your own sickness. That's Rand Paul. He's a super libertarian, right? Completely, he believes in people's rights, including the right to die in your own house because the government doesn't want to help you. Their only job, keeping you safe. It's so ridiculous. We have to come together as a country and realize this isn't a political issue. This is a hurdle that we need both feet, the Democrat foot and the Republican foot, to both jump at the same time to get over this hurdle, or else we're going to be stumbling for the next mile down the road because we can't get ourselves back on track.
The problem we have right now is the Democrats that I grew up with and the Republicans that I grew up with, and particularly my father. My father was a devout Republican. He was on the Republican Central Committee in the state of Iowa. He went to Republican National Conventions. He was the mayor for four terms in our city. I mean that, but he would be rolling in his grave to see what some of the things that are being done by that party right now. It's not the Republican Party isn't the same party. He was an Eisenhower Republican. And that back in those days, you could have a Rockefeller Republican. You could have a moderate. You could have now moderates. Oh, you're moderate? You're just a rhino. and then we've got things on the Democratic side. We've got AOC and I think Bernie probably a little bit and some other. I'm not sure a few others that are they're on one extreme part of that party, and that doesn't hit where the American people are either. It's like, come on, hey, God forbid we have we operate on the extreme because that's not what we want to be. And we have and you want to know the extreme, listen to the, you know, hey, you'll hear the extreme. You'll hear Trump radio coming up 2 o'clock this afternoon.
If you want to hear the extremes, there are places to hear it.
There are places to hear it.
But
yes.
I think the general public I would be so bold as to say that a majority of the general public exists, if so, somewhere between possibly skewed one side or the other.
Yeah, but the fact is most people, they don't really care. They want to have a job. They want to have enough money to live. They want to have lower taxes if they can. They don't want to pay any more taxes than they have to. They want to have health care. They want to have what else? I'm trying to think. They want to live a life and not have a lot of people saying you can't do this and you can't do that. I think, is that too simple or is that too...
No, I think that's about right on the nose.
Really, basically, they really just say, stay away, let me live my life.
I mean, yeah, yes and no.
Okay.
That waters down a lot of issues, like, okay. You know, things like what should be allowed in your community. You know,
oh, no,
things
I
like
agree.
That. Should you allow abortion? Yeah. Should governments pay for them?
No.
You know, a lot of things
I think he was talking very in general.
I meant very general. It's very simplistic.
But there's even issues like that, you know, there are Democrats against abortion. There's Republicans that are okay
right.
with it. There's so much of a spectrum there that... you know, I feel like there's a niche for anyone that mm-hmm. wants to be involved. It's all about just voting. Vote.
Yeah.
We need to get politicians who care about people and are putting people first. And it seems like we have a Senate full of them on both political parties that don't seem to be looking out for us anymore. They're looking out for themselves.
Gee, yeah. What a concept. Looking out for themselves and not for us. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
There's no room for ball hogs or egos here. We're not individuals with our own agendas. We practice as a band of brothers, and we win as a team.
Bohannon, who lets fly, good again.
Right here.
Iowa travels to Maryland. Thursday night at 5. Brought to you by Standard of Beaverdale, Ryan Schmidt's Flooring America, the Danville State Savings Bank, and by Ritter's Garden Center and Landscaping on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
We finally made it to 2021. With a few more short months of winter and spring already on the horizon, I'd like to talk to you about the new LX Series tractor from Kubota. This is Josh with Morning Sun Farm Implement. The new compact Kubota LX Series has been completely redesigned. Featuring improved operator comfort and ergonomic design, Kubota has really stepped up the game on the new LX Series tractors. With two models featuring 26 and 33 horsepower, this is a very nice size tractor for many small acreages. Both the Kubota LX Series models are available with factory mount cabs featuring heat, air conditioning, and radios. Morning Sun Farm Implement has already sold a number of these Kubota LX Series tractors, and the customer reviews have been exceptional. With low rate financing available or cash incentives, today's the day to stop into Morning Sun Farm Implement and check out a new LX Series tractor while sitting in our heated indoor showroom. Don't forget, going on right now is our winter service promotion. Call our service department today to schedule your piece of equipment for winter service. Morning Sun Farm Implement, your local farmer-owned dealership. Visit our website at msfarmimpl.com.
I don't have to tell you it's winter. You figured that out when you went outside this morning to start the car. Hi, this is Bob Jern from Jern's Heating and Air Conditioning. Wearing coats, hats, and gloves will help keep you warm when you're outside. Then you throw them off when you get inside your house. Or do you? If your furnace is struggling to keep you warm this season, give me a call. All it may need is a tune-up. We can fix or repair any brand of furnace and air conditioner. Or if it's time for a new unit, then we'll set you up with a brand new high-efficiency Amana furnace. Local utility companies are offering rebates of up to $1,560, so now is a great time to upgrade. For consistent temperatures in your home all year round, give us a call. Jern's Heating and Air Conditioning, your Amana dealer, serving Southeast Iowa and West Central Illinois. with 24-hour service and never an overtime charge.
Just having some fun talking about anything and everything, and that's what an open phone day is. We're in first one in January. We're back in the saddle again, and the holidays are over. I did notice one thing coming to work today: how many people still had their how many trees, Christmas trees, are still lit in homes. This is at 3:45 in the morning, and there's. Then how many people still have the Christmas lights up? I mean,
are you going to climb on a roof right now, Steve?
No, I'm not going to be taking any down. No, I'm not taking down. I meant they're lit. They're all lit up.
Yeah, well, if they're up, you might as well light them, right?
I suppose. I guess that's.
It looks twice as bad having unlit Christmas lights, I guess.
Well, I think people got in a habit of lighting up their Christmas or doing their Christmas, turning their lights on earlier. This year, and probably going to keep on doing it later. I don't know. Maybe that's another trend with the pandemic.
A lot of people were clinging to Christmas this year. People started putting the decorations up early. They were really getting into it this year.
Halloween, pretty much by then. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone needed
Halloween started at the end of August.
Everyone needed something to look forward to, and I think Christmas was the big one. There's probably a lot of people out there that are still holding on to a little bit of that Christmas.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's...
Well, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. I think I've heard that before, but and I think there's January's is always... What did I say? I had Dr. Ken Davis, who was a world-renowned author on with me just before Christmas, and I said, you know, if you didn't have Christmas... Then you would have it would just be another January. Cold. It'd be cold and you just buckle down and you do go straight forward. You need breaks in your routine. The problem we've had with this pandemic is that a lot of people that look forward to spring break. Hey, no spring break because there's no place to go. You look forward to summer vacation. Well, last summer, no place to go. You look forward to holidays. You look forward to going someplace. You actually were able to go to Colorado. I think that was great. I think it was. You got to go someplace and do some things and see some things that. It didn't make up for not having the wedding that you'd planned, but it was better than it was a whole lot better than nothing, wasn't it?
Yeah, certainly.
But the thing is, you had a plan and you did something, and the fact is, most of the things we haven't been able to do is we haven't been able to plan, and that's been frustrating. And I'm hoping. this thing will. Do I have confidence in Ragbri? No.
No.
Do I have confidence because it's so big and it's too complicated? I don't have confidence in the bike races coming off in May. Do I think that the River Fest will happen in August? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
I think so. And do I have confidence the school will be back in close to normal next year?
Probably.
Yes. Do I have confidence that there's going to be full football stadiums?
Call that a maybe.
That's a maybe. But it would be a whole lot better. These empty stadiums or seeing cardboard faces in the stands.
That's just creepy.
I'm just sick and tired of seeing cardboard faces in the stands and nobody there. They had it was pictures for each sport this year, last year, full stands, empty stands, full stands, cardboard cutouts, baseball, cardboard cutouts all along the third baseline. previously you'd have, you know, hey, going, you didn't go to a Cubs game. You go to a Cubs game all the time. We were planning.
I try to go to at least one every summer, anyway. If not at Wrigley somewhere.
Anyway, but it was, so it's been a bizarre 2020. Let's hope that 2021 gets better and better. And we can all just say, thank God it's gone.
The new year. Time for a fresh start.
Time for a fresh start, but it's going to take a while for that to happen, but at least we're on the way. It's not the end. It's the beginning of the end. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Monday.